Next on BYUSN, for the first time in show history, new BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young will join us in Studio B to discuss the roster, the coaching staff, and everything in between, a two-segment interview. BYU softball may have just locked up a spot in the NCAA tournament with a massive upset of Oklahoma State, but is it the best conference win of any Big 12 team this year?
Plus, is the men's basketball roster good enough right now to make March Madness? And where would BYU football be picked to finish if the Big 12 preseason poll were to come out today? We're discussing all the hot takes.
A loaded Friday show. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is May 10th. I am Spencer Linton. He is Cosmo's charitable concessions tracker, Jerem Jordan.
BYU alumni put out a graphic about all kinds of pieces of information about, Cougar alums.
Oh, yeah.
It included 4,800 ice cream and brownies served to visiting fans. So Vaca Vita, BYU fan on X, posted a tweet right here, highlighting where BYU ranks among its Big 12 peers in this regard. Nobody else, according to Vaca Vita, gave out any brownies or ice cream. So BYU dominated this space, which it typically does.
Is it an average of 800 visiting fans per game? Is that where that number comes from? Six home games times 800 fans? Or is this just a random number he's throwing out there?
This is actually a live shot of Lavelle Edwards Stadium. BYU has hung a banner, most brownies and ice cream given to opponents in the Big 12. Cosmo is there right now.
Cosmo in the house.
This is not Photoshop. This is actual video. Yeah.
Why not hang a banner? we can hang number a banner for whatever we want.
Number one in firesides. Number one in return missionaries. Number one in
de facto Pac-12 South champions 2021.
Deep blues. Yeah.
On that note, ice cream for all. I wish I could really deliver that. But rise
people are walking up to
and
building.
Shout.
Spend some shit on that ice cream.
It's time for What's Trending.
Biotti squeezes it, and the Cougars advance, knocking off one of the best teams in the country.
Oh, on the heels of a massive Big 12 win for BYU softball, we're opening it up to multiple BYU sports on Hot Take Friday. This is what we're going to do. Present a few statements, then we'll ask the question straight up, is this a hot take or not? Beginning with the team that just pulled off maybe the greatest Big 12 win of the season, Jerem. They take down number two Oklahoma State, number three, depending on which poll you look at. Is that the best conference win of any BYU team, any sport, in year one of Big 12 competition?
It was awesome. It was so good. They needed to do it to perhaps make the regional, as you mentioned the last couple days. I am going to stick with men's hoops at Kansas as the best conference win of the past year for any sport at BYU. I know they weren't ranked as high or whatnot, but the prestige of that win really helped BYU. It may have even got Mark Pope the job, right? Which is crazy. Like that, everyone is mentioning that Kansas win and how big that was. There were other big wins too, Iowa State and Baylor. But what softball did yesterday, I could see the argument for it being number one. But to me, it's men's hoops at Kansas. Fortunately, football only had two Big 12 wins, Texas Tech and Cincinnati. Neither of those kind of get brought up here. Softball, honestly, has the next three best wins, question mark, in this conversation, because they have three top five wins. One against Oklahoma, two against Oklahoma State. That's pretty good. Not bad. Softball really bringing it. And in the Big 12 quarterfinals. So it's not the top one for me, Spence, but those three top five wins are right up there, man.
Yesterday's win is not the top win for me from BYU softball, but it does come from BYU softball, and it was at Oklahoma a few weeks ago when BYU ended a seven-year conference home win streak.
That's pretty good.
For the best juggernaut in softball. Oklahoma softball is Alabama. They are Clemson. They are Ohio State. All combined. Of those teams combined.
Yeah.
So for BYU to go on the road in Norman and beat that team and end a seven-year conference home win streak, to me that is, in a singular vacuum, the greatest Big 12 win that any BYU team had on the year. And I know that it's not a high-profile sport. And that the argument against softball is that. Well, it's like, well, yeah, it was great, but it was softball. I don't care if it's softball. Like, if we're just talking sheer dominance by Oklahoma over the past decade and the defending national champions and that massive win streak, I know Kansas only lost one home game this year, and they don't lose at the Fog, and it's rare. it's way more rare for Oklahoma to lose a home game in conference, and BYU as an unranked team did it. So for me, that's the best win that BYU's experienced in the Big 12.
Next up, Keba Keita is going to be the starting center for BYU men's basketball this season. Hot take or not?
This isn't hot at all. This is very lukewarm. And I don't think...
I spew you from my mouth? Is that scripture?
I know some people are a little upset that Foose wouldn't be given the automatic nod. Like, well, no, Foose is the best post player that BYU has. Maybe Foose is the best post player that BYU has. It all depends on how Kevin Young assesses it.
That's isolating one piece of his game, the offensive side.
Yes.
They're two sides of the ball as well.
Absolutely. Okay, and that's exactly
where
I'm going.
He's going to get 20 minutes, yeah.
The violent nature that Keba Keita plays with on both ends of the floor and just the size advantage that he has over Foose, straight up height and a little bit more length,
yep.
I think that he will be the starting five. He is the rim-rolling five.
Pick your Molly guy to play center for BYU, right? It's cold because I think it's going to happen. But, I said last week, Foose, to me, off the bench would be even more effective than being a starter. Foose is so long, right? He's like 7-foot wingspan at 6'5.5". He is going to provide some real oomph off the bench.
He's a bulldozer.
And it's just nice to throw it into a guy. We all love Foose. We all love Foose. But no, this is cold take because I think he's going to come off the bench. And Keita, I think, will start. It's going to be great. And guess what? Injuries, attrition, ineptitude happen. You mix things up. Who knows?
All right. So not a hot take that Keba Keita will be the starter at 5 for BYU basketball. Yeah. On to the next. Speaking of BYU men's basketball, is the roster currently, or let's just make the statement, the roster is currently good enough to make the NCAA tournament next season, right now?
I think it's warm, but just slightly. Here's my issue. I like the 9 BYU's got, but, like, injuries happen and ineptitude. So you need to fill that out a little bit more, and then I'll be even more confident. But I do like the guys going in. Now, if everyone's completely healthy all year, yeah, I feel like that's a team that could make the tourney, absolutely. I don't know exactly what seed. I need to see them kind of play out and gel together and whatnot. But, like, you need a little more reinforcement on the roster in the front court. You only have 2 dudes. You have a couple stretch fours that play into that. But, yeah, that feels pretty good. I don't think it's that hot. No.
Now, to me, this feels like a cool take. The core is back. The majority of the production is back. And we feel like BYU is going to get – I mean, it's tough because the question is it now? Like, if you didn't add any more pieces,
right?
I still think it's a cool take. It's probably a 10 seed right now. I put BYU as like a 10, 9 or a 10 seed. If you take that team into Big 12 play, they finish 9th in the Big 12. You add a few more key pieces, and they get that perimeter wing defender and a guy that can create his own shot off the dribble. Now we're talking about BYU being right back in the range they were last year as a 6 or 7 seed. So cool take for me there. I think as constituted, BYU is in the field right now. Okay, so I don't know. I'm not ready to call it a cold take.
It's all white, ready to harvest. Let's go. Can you say that section in Korean?
Can I say the section in Korean?
Like Doctrine
the whole thing? Section 4?
Yeah. I used to be able to do it in Portuguese, not anymore.
I could probably rattle off like the first few sentences.
It's been 20 years.
It's been a long time.
It's been a hot minute, man. All right, next one. BYU football will be picked to finish last in the Big 12 preseason poll. Hot take or not?
This is a hot take.
It's hot. Yeah, I agree.
BYU will be picked to finish probably, almost certainly in the bottom 5. Like I
think that's a guarantee, Spence.
I feel like they're going to be 12th in the bottom or 13th.
Five. Yeah.
Out of 16 teams.
Bring it on.
But there's this idea out there from several fans that, oh my gosh, BYU, like, look at all these metrics and all these people, 17.5 point underdog to Utah. Like, they have the second to worst transfer portal class. We're going to finish last in the Big 12.
Well, if we can summon the West Virginia vibes, bring it on.
Yeah. Neil Brown, can we get Kalani Sitake in anger mode like Neil Brown was in anger mode last year?
Kalani Sitake, we've seen him in anger mode. That's scary, dude. Okay.
This is a hot take. 12th or 13th for me.
BYU was tied for second to last year in what they finished at 2-7. Cincinnati was 1-8. In the preseason poll, yeah, I agree. I think they'll be, somewhere in the 12, 13, 14 range, which is whatever. It's the preseason poll. It's all about what you finish, right? And last year, BYU football can look and say, hey, we finished tied with 3 other teams for second to last. That's not good.
Yeah.
So let's figure out how to go at least 4-5 in league and put ourselves in a position to go to a bowl game. Should we go 2-1 in non-conference? And we're on our way. So, yeah, I think that's a little bit of a hot take, but it's not super far off, right? Like, if BYU's 14th or whatever, you're only two spots off. But that will motivate this team. Like, I kind of want it. I kind of want BYU to be just overly underestimated.
Oh, right? I'm fine.
That would be great.
The lower, the better.
Like, I don't think BYU is going to be picked 16th, but I kind of would love it because then the team's like, oh, we'll show you. And then they'll operate in a space that's better. BYU loves to be underrated, loves to be misunderstood, and then they can prove themselves. They love it.
The problem for BYU there and not being picked to finish last and using that as, like, the ultimate motivation is that Arizona State was really bad last year.
I don't see why Arizona State wouldn't be the lowest ranked.
And Houston's probably second to last. And then it's kind of a toss-up between Cincinnati, BYU, and Baylor.
It's wild that Baylor's in that space. They're like 3 years removed from a conference
and
title.
A Sugar Bowl championship. That is wild.
Well, worth it. You made it to the Sugar Bowl.
All right, on to the next. BYU fans right now are more excited about BYU men's basketball than Cougar football right now.
Not a hot take at all, because obviously you have the newness of a new coaching staff and it's still being put together, and the roster, the exciting news of some of the main guys coming back. And it was a team that was very good. Like, if BYU football was 9-4 last year, there'd be a different vibe going into this year. But they were 5-7, and the expectations aren't that BYU is going to be 8-5. It's hopefully we make a bowl game. So men's hoops, it's like, oh, can we equal or better what we did last year? And there's a lot of new pieces. It's not hot at all that people are more excited right now for men's hoops. Now, when we get to the middle of July, and maybe even the beginning, it will start to turn into, okay, it's almost football season and fall camp. You get that itch, right? You get into football, you almost forget about men's hoops for a minute. Mm. And then early October, you're like, oh, yeah, men's hoops, let's go. That's the kind of flow of energy, I think.
If you're on Fifth Avenue during Christmas time and you see those beautiful storefronts, right now it's all BYU basketball. Sparkly, it's fun, it's new, it's the latest. It catches your eye automatically. The back clearance rack is BYU football right now. And I say that specifically because I think they're a good buy. Like, people have forgotten about them. The hype is not there. The juice is not there. So they've been relegated to the clearance rack a little bit.
For the moment.
Sometimes you can find some amazing things on that clearance rack. And then it turns out to be like your favorite piece of clothing or your favorite item. Okay. It's just because the newness and the excitement that naturally is around BYU basketball is at the storefront. So yeah, like, it's not a hot take. Men's basketball has the attention of just about every BYU fan. But don't forget about the clearance rack and the great deal in the back. Let's go. Our question of the day. What is your hottest BYU sports take right now? We just discussed five that have been around and about in social media. So you tell us. At Puka Jimmer on X says,
Puka Jimmer. I love that handle.
I like this one. It's got some heat with it. Brody Kozlowski is going to be Big 12 Freshman of the Year candidate.
I like the candidate part there, because certainly there's going to be some dude that's going to be a lottery pick that's going to be in the mix to be the actual Freshman of the Year. But why can't Brody be in the mix? So,
be in the conversation.
I love that.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. That's got some nice spice to it.
That adds a little cayenne pepper on that one. A little tahine. Baseball hosts Cincinnati tonight, game two of a three-game series. And then tomorrow as well, 8 Eastern tonight, 1:30 Eastern tomorrow on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Up next, for the first time in Studio B, the new head basketball coach at BYU, Kevin Young, joins us. Two-segment interview.
All right.
He's ready to rock. This is BYUSN.
Nation, here he is, Kevin Young.
What I want to do to take it to the next level is make this place the best place in college basketball. And I think with my background, I think we're going to be able to get that done. And I really look forward to doing that.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. It is our pleasure now to welcome into the Cougar Council Room in Studio B for the first time ever, former Sprayberry Yellow Jacket star and a Clayton State basketball legend,
go
now
Lakers.
BYU men's basketball coach Kevin Young. Coach, great to have you with us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Yeah. Glad to be here, finally.
Let's go.
Hey, you've been busy. A lot's going on right now. Are you still having like midnight, 1 a.m. calls to figure stuff out?
There's a lot going on, but that's par for the course. So
it's busy.
It's about time we got somebody from Clayton State in here, huh?
We've been asking for it for 10 years of this show.
Hey, for the record, we're going to do a fan fest in Phoenix next week. So if you need us to put our hats on backwards with Ryan Smith and help out with a move, like we could probably rally the troops
to boxes.
Help out with that.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. Yeah, appreciate that.
How is the move and the transition coming along?
It's coming. Yeah, kids are still in school. Got about a week left. So I've been doing a little back and forth, house hunting and doing all the things. But there's bigger fish to fry right now than worrying about the move. So we're kind of focused on all the other things.
With that said, have you responded to Kalani Sitake's text that you referenced in the press conference yet?
I made sure that happened very quickly. Now, he's actually been unbelievable. I reached out to him kind of unsolicited about a week or two ago just to pick his brain, and he's awesome. Great dude.
Yeah, he's fantastic. You can only ghost him for so long. Yeah. Right?
He'll come find you.
He's an imposing presence.
Yeah.
Coach, how would you explain just the first few weeks on the job if you had to summarize, words to summarize that?
Busy. Yeah, insane. You know, the first part was tricky doing both jobs. You know, I would go to Suns practice and then go back to we were on the road. So I'd go back to the hotel and just basically be on the phone for the next 12 hours, and even found time to snuck over here for a quick trip and then go back to Minnesota. But no, it's been busy. You know, it's been interesting though, because as busy as it's been, I mean, all jokes aside, really has been working, you know, 20 hours a day or whatever, but I've just felt so much energy. It's so much newness for me. It's been really charged me up and just diving head first into everything.
I think the fans have felt that too. We're just talking about kind of the juice of men's basketball right now. People are very excited about any little thing that's coming out or any little rumor, whether it's coaching, you know, and staff or players and whatnot. And Keba Keita is the newest guy you add. Why was he such an important piece of this? Because that's a big time get.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big time get. Based on how we want to play, you know, I've talked about it several different times, but having that rim pressure, as I call it, he's a vertical athlete, one of the best in the country. So offensively, it kind of unlocks some things, how we want to play. And then obviously defensively, his rim protection and just a powerful athlete, something that we've wanted to add here with the returners is just athleticism. Big, strong guy, beautiful human being as well. So we felt like it was a real seamless fit.
I don't know what you know about Molly, but you're about to know everything with Foose and Keba, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Those guys know each other.
Yeah, and that's I mean, honestly, that's been a big part of not trying to rock the boat from a chemistry standpoint. You know, a lot of the guys that are coming back have talked about that, about how they felt like that was a strength of the group. And so trying to add talent, but also add to the brotherhood, I think this particular instance is a big win there as well.
Kevin Young is with us on BYU Sports Nation, new BYU men's basketball head coach. Obviously, there are still some key pieces that you want to add to the roster, and Keba Keita was a huge one there. It's a fluid situation, understandably, but do you have a timeline of when you are hopeful to have all of your scholarship positions in place?
Yeah, I mean, talking about it every day, every like not even trying to be funny, every hour things are shifting because the landscape of the portal and then the combine and how there's so many different factors at play. It's not like not everyone's playing on the same timeline, right? And so you kind of have to balance who you're targeting and so forth. So there's a real science to it. Clearly haven't figured out the exact art to it yet, but every day we're plugging away. And I would expect, you know, within the week, I would expect to have at least a few more, you know, guys hopefully committed to us. But like I said, things are changing. When I get out of here, I'm sure I'll have 10 missed calls and texts that bringing me up to speed on stuff.
That's wild. And Jackson Robinson obviously is a big one. Yet, how do you balance sort of the, hey, I was in the NBA, I can give some input into this and I know people, versus, hey, we'd love you back, man.
Yeah, I mean, with him, you know, talking with him and, you know, his representation, just listen, I've all the things that he's doing, I was the guy for years who did that, you know, and it's I just offered myself up as a resource. You know, they've been pretty clear they're trying to focus on that side of it right now, which I totally support and get, but I just said, hey, listen, man, what you're doing, like I was the guy running those workouts for years, I'm happy.
At the combine?
In the pre-draft workouts, you know, and then I've been to the combine many times, but you know, the combine is one thing, but I think it's when you get into the individual NBA
with the teams
facilities. Yeah. That's what I did for years. And so I, again, just offered myself up as a resource, and you know, we'll see where things lay when it's all done for him there.
Because this is also new at BYU, but it hasn't been that long, how much different does your life feel right now?
You know, it's not as different as I thought coming into it, honestly. I mean, a big part of it, as I mentioned early on, was hiring staffers who are well-versed in the college landscape, which we've been able to do pretty well so far. Still more to add there, but you know, there is a lot of, it actually reminds me more of coaching like in the G League, in the old NBA D League when I was doing it, but in terms of the types of people you're talking to. So there's a lot of similarities there. And then in terms of our recruiting pitch here, it's, you know, it's drawing those parallels between the world I came from into this, and that's what most of these guys are trying to do anyway. So there's been a lot of continuity there.
How do you quickly establish a relationship with someone to the point where they want to be with you here?
Yeah.
Because it's got to be so fast for you with these players, not only the current ones that you're trying to retain, but other ones out of the portal.
Yeah, it's been tricky, you know, especially coming into with the portal, you know, coming in late to the into the game with a lot of these young men. And so part of that is relationships. You know, it surprised me of how connected I've actually been to a lot of the people that are kind of the movers and shakers in this space. But then in terms of once you get to the conversation, I think just keeping it real, like not a whole lot of fluff. Hey, this is how I see you. This is how we would use you. This is why it's good. And kind of getting to the point, which kind of fits my personality anyway. So it's actually been pretty efficient there.
So you found that you knew people through all your NBA connections that know someone connected to these people you're talking to.
Yeah, I mean, when
that helps, right?
Yeah. And like we were joking about Kalani and stuff, but like when I got the job, like a bomb went off when you mix the college world and the NBA world, and then I had like 500 texts and phone calls, you know? and so, yeah, man, it's been interesting, like, how much crossover there actually is.
Kevin Young is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's focus in specifically on Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders. I know how BYU fans felt about, one, them entering the transfer portal, and then the feelings they had when they decided to come back to BYU. Mm-hmm. What were those moments like for you when you got the calls from Richie and Dallin specifically that they were joining you and staying at BYU?
Yeah, just super pumped, man. They've been obviously huge parts of the program here. And I told those guys when I first took the job, you know, I need you guys because I have to rely on your experience. You guys know this better than I do. You know, there's things I can help you with from a basketball standpoint, but they're – familiarity with the Big 12, with BYU, the landscape, all that. So when they said that they were coming back, man, we were just pumped up. And it was cool because I'd been able to build up a rapport, not just with them, but with their families as well. And I could tell that their families were trying to be supportive, but I felt like they did want them to come back. So I think that when they made that choice, it was cool to have their parents reaching out like, oh, we did it, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
I can
Me
confirm
and
that,
you.
Yeah, that Nicole Hall was like, Spencer, I'm so happy I don't have to make those Big East flights.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going to Creighton, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Richie was in studio this week and told us he was in Belize, you know, he's in Guatemala. He's in Belize in a taxi cab, and the taxi driver knew who he was. He's like, Richie, as in Richie Saunders in the transfer portal? He's like, oh my gosh, I'm in Belize, and somebody knows me. What is it like when you take over a program and you look at, you assess the players and the signings and so on? Are you watching film yourself to be like, yes, this guy fits into what I want to do? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I think it's a balance. At the time, it was a major balancing act, you know, because we talked about the Suns thing. So I'm game planning to score against the best defense in the league, which we didn't do a great job of. But then I'm watching tape on our players here. I'm watching tape on recruits. And so trying to blend all that together was a bit of a challenge. But, you know, studying it the best I can, relying on, you know, a lot of the people who had been here as well. So it was kind of just a balancing act, I think.
It's been really fun to watch different high-level NBA players be very vocal about you and in support of you, notably Chris Paul and Devin Booker and others. What's that like for you, and what type of advice are those guys giving to you as you come to BYU and into the college scene?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the thing I'll miss the most about the NBA is the relationships with that level of player. You know, Chris and Book are probably the two I've gotten the closest with, especially in recent years. And we had a special run where we were, you know, knocking on the door of a championship. So that alone bonds you together. But humbling, I would say, you know, especially, you know, a guy like Chris, who's arguably the best point guard of all time. I mean, the word started to get out a little bit, and he was actually the first person to call me outside of like my inner family. You know, he's just really connected. So he kind of caught wind of it. So he called me early one morning and was just thrilled, you know, for me and my family. And then Book, you know, Book's been amazing, you know, like the comments that he's made and just conversations him and I have had. So hopefully we'll get him up here to play some pickup with the guys, and he can kind of share his experiences. But yeah, they're just awesome guys, and just humbling, I'd say.
We're ready to hang a KYU sign.
Yeah, the KYU thing was awesome. That was so fun. Yeah. In terms of the coaches' meeting that you were just at, what was it like to kind of be the new guy there, and you're looking around, and there's Bill Self and Scott Drew and Kelvin Sampson and all these guys?
Yeah, it's a little awkward, you know, just jumping in there. You know, those guys are, I mean, the Big 12 is obviously no joke. You know, you're coming in there and you're seeing guys like that, but honestly, just the newness of it, you know, they're saying, I'm texting Tom Homo during the meeting, like, hey, what does this mean? Like, they're saying stuff I don't even know what it means. And so just getting caught up, but honestly, the whole group was very welcoming. You know, Kelvin was in the NBA for a long time too. So it was a good reception, I would say.
Speaking of coaches, you mentioned you've already got Brandon Dunson and Chris Burgess has been a nice addition, and you've got a chief of staff as well. How many more positions are you looking to fill before you have your staff at 100%?
Yeah, so we got three more assistant coaches that were kind of eyeing down the road with some people, a couple support staff, a couple guys I may try to steal from the NBA circles as well. So yeah, things are definitely in the works and moving along, but there's so many things that have to get done, you know, with the portal and with players. So it's hard to, you know, prioritize, because I'm on the phone with the coach, and then next thing I know, I'm on a Zoom call with the recruit, and it's just kind of trying to stay on top of all of it.
And you're offering guys for 25 and 26 for crying out loud.
You guys are eyeing the next couple of years, which is great.
And that's where, honestly, like Brandon and Chris have been tremendous. That's why I wanted those two guys specifically here. I really feel amazing about those two guys in particular. You know, those offers you're throwing out, they're keeping me in the loop, and we're studying guys, so they've been great.
Let's finish this segment, and we'll keep you for the next segment. In year two at Clayton State, you jumped up 13% on your three-point shot. How did that happen?
Work. Yeah, just getting in the gym and just working. That's great research, number one, by you. But I've always loved the gym, loved the game, and just getting there and putting in work. There's no secret to, and all jokes aside, that's one thing I learned when I got into the NBA. Like, I thought getting into the league, I'm going to learn all these tricks and all this stuff, and it's really not that complicated, man. You got to put the work in.
Can you still shoot?
I can still shoot.
Of course he can. Nice. Of course he can. He can give Birds a run for his money.
When this previous staff showed up for the first time, they shot for the assistant coach offices. Did you make them do that?
I've heard. We're still kind of plotting out. Yeah, we're still plotting that out.
Great stuff. All right, we've reached the halfway point of this fantastic interview with new BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young. We'll be back with more on BYUSN Part 2 on the way, live in Studio B.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, man, I'm coming to BYU. The main message is I want those guys here. I'm trying to share with them kind of what my vision's going to look like. We're going to build on what's already been done here.
Noah Waterman for three!
The show rolls on from Studio B. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. We're with BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young. And Kevin, I think we need to step outside of hoops just for a moment, because BYU fans want to know a little bit more about who you are and maybe some hobbies and things that you have. So outside of basketball, like what are you passionate about beside the sport that now you work your full-time job in?
Yeah, so I'm a dad of three young kids, 10, 8, and 6, so they keep me pretty busy. They're pretty sports-oriented as well, so don't get a huge break from it. I like coaching their teams the best I can, but in terms of just for me, I love to mountain bike. I love to work out, try to stay fit. When I hit 40, I was okay. 41 messed me up. I'm like, wow, I'm actually like in my 40s. And so I got really into just trying to, you know, stay fit and be active.
It's funny that you say that, because you're 17 days older than me. Mm. And I mean, there is a reality switch when you're like, oh, now I have to really do something. I have to work.
I can feel my knee the next day.
Mountain
biking, you're going to love this place, man.
Yeah, in fact, when I lived here the first go around, that's where I first got into it. Mm. So I'll be looking forward to that.
How'd you get Brody Kozlowski to come to BYU? Because certainly we've worked with his mom for years. Mm-hmm. We know and love her. When he went to USC, I was like, oh, man, that was a bummer.
Yeah.
But when he flipped, it was, like, more joyous than it would have been had he signed originally. What was that process like? And I know you made him a priority on the night of the press conference with his family.
Yeah, no, that was just one that, we just kind of hit it off, you know, personality-wise. Honestly, his dad, Travis, is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, hit it off with him. I don't know. There was just, like, this just genuine, instant kind of connection between, you know, Brody and his dad, and then met his mom and learned about her background and things. So, I don't know. It just kind of felt pretty right out of the gate.
Anytime you have a mom that drops 49 in a high school game, you know?
She's got the street cred.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I want to ask a little bit more about specifically, like, the guys that you have. As you look at the roster right now, because we were just talking, like, man, the core, it feels like the core is primarily back. So how much different do you expect the roster to feel, given that you have so many key pieces back already?
Yeah, I mean, that's a luxury, you know, for us. We feel like just in terms of having guys that we can count on already being here. However, we're trying to add, you know, some high-end talent to that as well. And so we've got our hooks in on some guys that are pretty high-level players. Hopefully we can get one or multiple of them to join the group and then, you know, kind of blend it with the thing I love is the shooting and the IQ and the experience. So a lot of times that's hard to find in and of itself. So we have that. Now we're trying to add some athleticism and some high-end talent with that as well and try to kind of marry it all together.
Is there a number one priority in that list somewhere? Like if you had to prioritize those, like is it an athletic defensive guard that can score off the dribble? Like how would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, the athletic big was the number one, which we've already spoken about that. Now we've, you know, an athletic combo guard that can, you know, do kind of create his own shot is something we've talked about prioritizing and just overall athleticism as well. That's kind of been on the wish list.
How many bigs do you need? Because Foos and Cates are certainly your traditional guys. Mm-hmm. And then you have others who could be stretch fours. But do you want like four bigs on the roster or would three be enough?
I think just having some versatility, you know, if there is another one that comes into the mix, somebody that can be different than those two guys, I think is something that we've talked about quite a bit. And so, again, man, it's very much a moving target, you know, and it's hard to, you know, I think Burgess said it yesterday, like we're not necessarily drafting, you know, it's like we don't get to just choose. There's so many pieces to the portal and things of that nature, and that's kind of what makes it tricky, but it also kind of makes it fun in the same breath.
Your brother Justin, it's fun, one, to watch his reactions when something exciting happens for BYU basketball, like the gifts that he's like posting on X. But he's connected to high school basketball and has been doing it for a long time. So what kind of an asset is he to have as your brother and now that you are the head basketball coach at BYU?
Yeah, massive. I mean, him and I have always been somewhat connected with the game over both of our careers. We used to run camps together when we were both starting out and stuff. And yeah, just an unbelievable asset. You know, he's one of the reasons Dunson and I got connected, along with some other things as well. So he's just been invaluable. He's kind of behind the scenes knowing. I'm actually surprised about how many people even know who he is because he's so kind of behind the scenes. But I guess he's a big time dude apparently. But no, he's been great, man. He's one, just from a big bro standpoint, I've always relied on him for advice, and then now we're kind of blending that advice in a basketball sense too, so it's a pretty unique thing.
And then Doug Stewart, you bring in as chief of staff, sort of a GM role, right? Yeah. He was an assistant with you with the Delaware 87ers, is that right?
Correct.
That's where the connection was?
Yeah, so Doug was the associate head coach at Oregon State with Craig Robinson for years, and then Billy Lang, who's the head coach at St. Joe's now, him and I were working for the Sixers. I was doing the G League thing. He mentioned Doug to me because he's a Philly, Haddonfield, New Jersey native. And it just kind of worked out while he was kind of in between college years. Had him for a year, bright guy. Went on to be with some other schools and has been in a really unique role at Nevada where he was now more in administration, kind of fundraising type space. But he's Ivy League educated. He was a good player in his own right. He's just a smart guy, can he's a perfect fit for the role that we have him in, and he's going to wear a lot of different hats. And having the, you know, knowing him and having worked with him before, on top of all the other things he brings, it kind of was a no-brainer, honestly.
He checks a billion boxes, including playing against the Harlem Globetrotters, I mean, for the Washington Generals.
Come on, right?
That's awesome.
That's a trivia.
That's really fun.
Yeah, that's one of the all-time trivia questions for sure.
Yes. BYU basketball head coach Kevin Young is on BYUSN. Rewinding to 2019, the first time you were contacted about potentially coaching at BYU from Tom Homo and Brian Santiago, how much did what you went through back then impact what you decided to do or entertain this go around?
You know, it was just interesting at that time. It was that kind of planted the seed, I think, on my mind and clearly theirs as well, and really my wife's mind as well. You know, she had always thought that if this ever came up, it would be something we'd really want to pursue. I was on the fence about it. But having learned about it back then, and then the way things, it was just unbelievable, like all the events that took place leading up to this. But I think it played a big role in it ultimately happening, and a lot of things happened between that time and now with like furthering relationships with other people outside of Brian and Tom that are associated with BYU. And so, yeah, it was kind of uncanny the way everything unfolded, honestly.
During COVID, you went on a couple podcasts, I think with some old coaches of yours, perhaps, mm-hmm. that I watched on YouTube, and you talked about your journey of being like the last assistant coach for Dick Hunsaker at UVU, where you're on the practice squad, you're going to Ireland, you're coming back and doing G League stuff, but you're also like selling, was it security systems and getting a Subway sandwich that would last you like a week? Like, do you ever flash back to like that guy and kind of the road that you took to get to this point? Because that's pretty incredible, especially because you were miles away here grinding 19 years ago, and here you are now.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal. You know, where just throughout my career, I haven't really focused on that. You just kind of get lost in the job. But when I was in Philly coaching there, I lived in New Jersey. And so I would take the Walt Whitman Bridge to get over to the games, right? And so when you're taking that bridge, you look to your right, you see like the Delaware River, and you see an amazing like skyline of Philly. And it was really just on that drive when I would look over there, I'd be like, man, this is actually kind of crazy that I'm even going to an NBA game now, right? And now you fast forward years later to this. Yeah, in fact, anytime I'm at pull up and I'm in my office, I can see the mountains in the background there, and the apartment I lived in was back tucked over there. And I'm like, man, that is kind of wild that years ago I was eating the subs over there, and now I'm over here as the head coach. So it's just kind of amazing how it all worked out.
Now you can eat the sub, but just today, just fresh, right?
Exactly.
What are you looking forward to most about coaching in the Marriott Center and having the Rock and the crowd and just the juice that is around BYU basketball right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've made mention of this in my press comments, but I didn't really come to many games when I lived here. I didn't have the time, but I did come to one when Jimmer was here, and it was an incredible atmosphere. So the thing that I'm probably most excited about is just for my kids to experience that level of excitement with me as the head coach. I think it's going to be pretty special.
Are you a suit guy or are you a polo guy as a coach?
It was funny. I was just talking to Brian Santiago about that, and I got – once we bailed on the suits in the NBA, I got real comfortable with the quarter zip. So I asked him the other day, I'm like, dude, do we have to wear the suit or can we do the quarter zip? So I'm doing some serious lobbying over there. Yeah. I think I'll win that fight. We'll see how we'll see how it goes.
That's awesome. Who are some of the main mentors in your life that have sort of shaped who you are as a basketball coach and person up to this point?
Yeah, I'd say the person I'm the closest with in the NBA is Brett Brown. You know, outside of my dad, he's probably the guy I go to the most when things come up in life, but just obviously basketball. Him and I, you know, he was the head coach of the Sixers when I worked there. You know, he's back with the Spurs now as Pop's kind of a lead assistant. But, yeah, him and I just see – one, I think we see the world kind of similar. You know, he's much more than a basketball coach, and that always drew me to him. But he's just a very curious person by nature, and he also empowered me quite a bit. So my leadership style was really modeled after how he led me, and that's kind of how I've gone. And then obviously Monty Williams is another major figure in my life. And there's a couple other high-level executives in the NBA that I got really close with in Philadelphia that are very analytically minded, and that kind of shaped kind of my view on how you can put that into play. I'll give him a shout out. My guy Sergi in Portland, he's the assistant GM. He was really impactful for me as well. So there's a laundry list of guys, but over the recent years, those are the guys who've impacted me the most.
As we wrap up, we just want to kind of give you the stage and discuss anything that you might want BYU basketball fans and the community to know about you or about the program. Could be about the beard, could be about basketball, whatever you want. The stage is yours.
So the beard got a lot of commentary.
It did, right?
I didn't realize it. So I flew in yesterday morning. Actually, I was coming south, and then I saw one of the billboards that the pic they had me with the beard. I definitely got a little sad that it was gone. But I've heard of like beard cards are like a thing, right? And so I don't know. One of my brother-in-law, his brother's a professor here, and apparently he has like a really gnarly beard. So I may have to pick his brain and see how he pulled that
Interesting.
Off. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But in terms, man, I'm just excited to build on what's been going on here. Obviously, had a great year last year. I think. Really excited to just take a lot of the things that I've learned in the NBA and implement them into BYU basketball on both sides of the ball, and you know, just being innovative with that side of it. I think there's a lot of things that we can do that I learned there that maybe haven't necessarily been touched on here at this level. So I feel the excitement. You know, I kind of overheard you guys talking about it. There's some juice going on here, and I just want to build off that. And on the flip side, like, I love football, so I'm actually fired up for the football season, too. And it's, my kids love it. My wife loves it, so we can't wait to be a part of just the BYU community from that standpoint as well.
Coach, we appreciate you spending a lot of time, relatively speaking, in your very busy schedule, two segments here.
Yeah.
So typically when you come on the show, we do our part. We give you BYU Sports Nation karma. And good things happen.
We've seen some crazy manifestations. So we put it in recruiting.
Listen, we gave the karma to Ilana Agbayani at BYU softball earlier this week, and they beat Oklahoma State yesterday.
Okay.
So, ranked number two. So that was a big one yesterday.
There we go. I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, take the karma. Good luck the rest of the recruiting period and in the transfer portal, and can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, former Cougar softball player Morgan Bevel, Foundation. Bevel's Advocate holding a walkathon this weekend. Devil's Advocate, a nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering, educating, and assisting families of children with disabilities. The event aims to celebrate and honor the incredible mothers who tirelessly support their children with special needs. It's going to take place tomorrow, May 11th, in Provo from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. local time at the Carterville Park.
Everyone's invited. It's free. It's going to be a great event. Up next, did BYU softball lock up a spot in the NCAA tournament yesterday with that upset of Oklahoma State, or do they need to beat the Sooners today to feel more comfortable? This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and
welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to your Friday headlines.
Softball beat number 2 overall ranked Oklahoma State yesterday, 7-2. 5 errors from the Cowgirls aided the Cougars to win that Big 12 quarterfinal, and BYU took advantage, baby. Ilana Agbayani led the team with 3 ribbies, an incredible catch. Chloe Temples gave up only 2 runs in a complete game win. She had given up 0 earned runs through 6, gave up 2 late, whatever. 7-2 win. Cougars advanced to the semifinals, taking on 2 seed and number 4 overall ranked Oklahoma, who they beat once out of 3, tonight at 6 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
BYU baseball drops game 1 against Cincinnati in their final Big 12 series of the season. The Cougars had a 5-2 lead going into the 7th inning, but the Bearcats scored 7 unanswered. Game 2 tonight, 8 Eastern on BYU Radio. Watch it on Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
7 Cougars earned all Big 12 honors yesterday at day 1 of the Big 12 Track and Field Championships in Waco, Texas. Javelin throwers Cameron Bates, Michael Whitaker, Brenton Paulson, and Chase Clement all finished in the top 8. Bates finished in 2nd. Destiny Everett took 5th in the women's 10K. Joey Noakes and Jacob Stanford finished 5th and 7th in the 10K on the men's side as well. The championships continue today and tomorrow.
NFL rookie minicamps begin today and will take place through this weekend for the following five players from BYU: Keaton Slovis with the Indianapolis Colts, Aiden Robbins with the Cleveland Browns, Eddie Heckard in Denver with the Broncos, Max Tooley with the Houston Texans, and Isaac Rex with the Detroit Lions.
The NBA Draft Combine starts Sunday, goes through May 19th for Jackson Robinson. Here's where he sits on some notable boards. ESPN's Jonathan Givony, 55th best prospect, Bleacher Report, 46th. Tankathon, 59th, NBADraft.net, 39th. Robinson has until May 29th to decide if he wants to return to college or stay in the draft.
All of those numbers scream late second round as currently projected. BYU men's lacrosse advances to the national championship. They'll take on UVU. How about that? This will be their third matchup in the last 3 weeks, with BYU winning both of the previous contests. The final tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern in Round Rock, Texas.
The Kevin Young Bowl. Men's volleyball beat Galatasaray. I don't know how to say it. It's in Istanbul, Turkey.
Galatasaray.
In the Cougars' third match in 3 days. By the way, on the women's version of that program, that's where Heather Knighting played her volleyball this last season professionally.
Very nice. Former BYU basketball player Marcus Adams Jr. has committed to Cal State Northridge, announced yesterday on his social media accounts. Adams played one season at BYU. We wish him the best of luck.
And Jeff Goodman reporting that Grand Canyon and Seattle are joining the WCC, by the way.
I think those are good fits.
Interesting. I like
that. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Win or lose today, is BYU softball in the NCAA tournament?
Yes. They already have 3 wins against top 5 teams. Their RPI, as I looked at it this morning, was hovering around 46 or 47. Their strength of schedule is really good. They're playing their best softball of the season right now. They're an exciting team. They score a lot of runs. I believe that all those things will draw favor from the selection committee.
Hey, I love it.
The PlayStation Store released the deluxe edition cover art for the College Football 25 video game. What do you think, Jerem?
I love it. If you look on the left, you can see a BYU helmet, and it is awesome. I cannot wait. Matt Brown told us of Extra Points newsletter that it is anticipated to be out July 19th. I should have a little baby at that point and just plenty of time to be playing.
Yes, that worked out nicely.
I am excited.
It worked out nicely. Does Whitney know that you're going to be playing College Football 25 a lot?
Yeah, I'm going to be playing. It BYU softball versus Oklahoma. It's in the Big 12 tournament semifinals tonight at 6 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus. Huge opportunity again for the Cougars.
For sure. Hey, what's your hottest BYU sports take right now? Tell us, won't you? Hashtag BYUSN on social media. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Our question of the day: what is your hottest take about BYU sports right now?
Beard card for Kevin Young.
That was hilarious. Steven on X posts, BYU wins 7 games minimum this year in football.
I hate that's perceived as
minimum.
Hot.
Minimum.
I hate that
it's warm.
Perceived as hot.
Certainly warm. I know, a hot take's got to be like, they win 8+. Come on.
I also hate that.
Yeah. 9 would be very hot. Okay. Dallin Romerl on X. Jake Retzloff will throw for 4,000 yards.
Now that's
hot.
And
BYU
hot,
has a top 10 wide receiver room in the country.
Like, he throws for more than Max Hall did. Like, what?
That's got that insanity pepper on it. Oh, man.
The ghost pepper.
Yes, the ghost pepper.
This is a little ghost pepper.
Our elite voice of the day presented by Pax Healthcare Elevated, coming in from Cosmo's Burner on X.
I wish so bad it was actually Cosmo.
BYU will make a Final Four appearance within the tenure of Coach Young.
One day we're going to do it. We have the most appearances in the tourney without it. One day we're going to do it. Okay?
Perhaps.
We better.
BYU gets a road like San Diego State had 2 years ago, where I don't think they took on a number, like a super, like, really tough seed until maybe the Elite Eight. Like,
and even then it was Creighton who was, that's doable.
Yeah.
I just really hope before the second coming we can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
That's softball, dude. Taking down number 2 ranked Oklahoma State, the 3 seed in the Big 12, which tells you how good the league is. Back at it against Oklahoma tonight, who they beat in Norman, as you mentioned.
Yep.
One of those 3 games they played in the regular season. So that was huge, man. One of the biggest wins in program history. First Big 12 tournament game, and they beat
Amazing.
Oklahoma State?
Yes.
Wow.
I think they got into the tournament because of it. All right, let's stay with the softball theme. We mentioned this earlier. Shout out to former BYU softball player Morgan Bevel, whose nonprofit Bevel's Advocate, which again is dedicated to empowering, educating, and assisting families of children with disabilities. She's holding a walkathon this weekend. It's in Provo. It's 11-1. It's free for all.
Very cool.
Love to have you come and support an outstanding nonprofit organization. And our thanks to today's guest, BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young, who joined us for two very, very insightful segments.
The first of many appearances.
Yeah.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
Hello, Jerem.
Hi, Dennis.
She's still there. For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spence Wilson. Shout out to Stan Watts. Have a great weekend, everyone. Go Cougs!